There's steps to alchemy, and the fifth step is being in aligned action, right? You need to physically, we are physical beings, so we need to look into that space and recognize ourselves as physical and take that action.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And my beloveds, you may have heard of the word alchemy. You know, previously, before the spiritual revolution and awakening, alchemy really spoke to the changing of metal and components, and it has evolved into a whole different topic of energetics. So today we're going to dive into this topic. What is alchemy, and how can you use it to create your reality, with our beautiful and wonderful guest today, Elizabeth Makepeace. She has had two major life-threatening health experiences, and through those, she discovered the secrets of alchemy, and she merges this knowledge with 25 years of being a healer to create the ascendance codes and energetically align with her higher self wisdom. This is going to be such a good conversation. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lara. So good to be here. Can't wait for this conversation.
Okay, so let's start off with a definition, your definition of alchemy. What is it?
So alchemy to me is the, you know, making the fixed volatile and the volatile fixed. So it's looking at things that are holding us back, things that we find are static in our unconscious, and dissolving those so that we are in flow with the universe. And then using the ethers, the energetics of the universe, the quantum field, as you would, you know, call it, and the codes that are in that field, and manifesting that into physicality.
Beautiful. I love how you said from the physical to the volatile. Was this something that you learned? I kind of presumed, actually, I realized as I was reading your bio, that you learned this through that experience of those life-threatening health issues. Is that true?
It was a bit of an experiential thing. I wouldn't have labeled it that as I was going through those processes. I was more in alignment. But yes, it was something that became a label, you know, and an observation of, that's what I've been doing later in my experience. But it definitely was what I was doing through that process, just by connecting to myself, connecting to, you know, the consciousness of this massive thing that we're in. It's, you know, you go back and you reflect and you go, okay, I didn't realize I was doing that, but that's what I was doing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The higher self wisdom, the wisdom that comes through us, we learn before we know sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had a question and I forgot it. Because kind of what we're suggesting here, I want to make this kind of clear for the listeners, is that alchemy can be a healing process. It could be where you heal something in your body, and or it could be something a little bit more less dense, more subtle, like shifting a limiting belief. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because we have this premise that we're broken in some way. You know, we just the thought of it, you know, we're a creative spirit. We're in this space where we decide to come down into the human experience, right? And to have a physical manifestation of ourselves. And along the way, as soon as that umbilical cord's cut, right, we identify and recognize ourselves as separate. All of a sudden, we need things external to ourselves. We need food and love and shelter and, you know, nourishment in some way that's outside of ourselves all of a sudden. And through that process, as we become, you know, a little bean, we start thinking that we are somehow limited, that we are inadequate, that we, you know, we start defining ourselves as not good enough and unworthy and, you know, we don't belong, we're not perfect, all of the things that we start just from day-to-day things, let alone, you know, the traumas that we can have, you know, as a kid and growing up. Just the little things that are happening on a day-to-day, we start making these assumptions of who we are. And so through that process, we now see ourselves as something separate to the whole. And so that becomes our unconscious patterning. That becomes our baseline for our identity, because our unconscious, just like it learns how to walk and brush our teeth and, you know, stop walking across the road so we don't get hit by a car, whatever it might be, it gets locked into our unconscious now as a pattern. And so it's now a silent instruction, because we think it as a little kid so much that we don't even recognize it's there. And so now it becomes fixed. So what alchemy does is, if when you're a true alchemist and you're a master at recognizing these things, or, you know, an apprentice, depending on where you're at, you recognize that these fixed things you can create and become volatile. You can release these things from your auric field, from your DNA, because they're not just from us. They're past lives, they're generational history and epigenetics. So we've got these things locked into our DNA that we can actually release from our DNA. So now we can see ourselves as the individual, but recognize that is the illusion, and that we are actually a pure spirit, and that we have the ability to draw on all of the codes, all of the information from anywhere in the, you know, the cosmos, and become a master at whatever we choose, you know, create, make choices that align with our purpose, with our passion, with our, you know, desires.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not truly fixed, is it? Because, you know, I think of it like a computer, and you have your primary software on there, like Windows, and it seems like it's there, you know, it can seem kind of fixed, but yet you can update it, or you can swipe it completely off and reinstall something completely different. And it's so beautiful and powerful to realize that we have that capacity, you know, of our mind, of our body, of all aspects of self, to swipe it, to upgrade it,
absolutely,
to get the latest version, get a plug-in, maybe a little plug-in that you want to plug in and add some filters.
I often talk to people about Neo from The Matrix, right? It's the same sort of thing.
Yes. Yes.
You know, plugging in and uploading karate if you want, right? Like,
yeah.
If you believe that you can do that, then that's the reality. Yeah.
Yes. So let's I want to go into two different parts here. So for the listeners to understand this better, let's take it first into a more of a physical alchemy. And let's take it as if you were looking at what happened to you. I think you said you had a fibroid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were watching you go through this process, can you explain how that alchemy happened where you dissolved that fibroid for people to understand the physical aspect of this work?
Yeah, sure. So as a process, it was something that something became present. So I had a 15 centimeter fibroid, which is apparently massive. I've listened to people on other podcasts that have had smaller ones, and people go, oh my gosh, you know, like, and I'm like, oh man, mine was 15 centimeters. Like, you know, I didn't realize that that was so big, right? But I do know how big, because they actually, I birthed them. I birthed three, you know, masses out of my body. And how they said they were 15 centimeters, I don't know, because all of them were like huge.
Wow. And giving the listeners, like, is that like a baseball, softball, maybe softball size?
Yeah, maybe even bigger, I'd say. Yeah, they were big masses. And so,
oh my God,
with fibroids, apparently you get bloating, irregular periods, you know,
yeah, makes
bleed,
sense. Right.
All of those things. I had no symptoms, flat stomach, regular period, nothing that actually, like, no pain, all the things. Mm. The reason I found out is because I, got pregnant and 9 weeks in, I started bleeding. So that part was, you know, that was how I discovered it. So basically, you know, 9 weeks in, they find out. So I'm in my late 30s. So from a physical point of view, all of the medical profession freaked out. Mm. I'm late 30s. I'm 9 weeks pregnant and I've got a 15 centimeter fibroid, and one specialist after the other handed me over to somebody else because they're like, we don't know what
we
to
don't
do
want
with
you.
This.
We don't,
you know,
yeah,
this
we don't want
too
this
scary,
responsibility.
Right?
Yeah, this is too much.
Yeah. And so I finally found a gynae. There was a female, and she was the first woman that said, "Ah, it's all good. I had twins and a fibroid, and the only reason I had a cesarean is because they both tried to come out at the same time." So she gave me some hope, right, that actually this was okay. But the whole way through, as soon as I found out, there was no going into those unconscious patterns of fear, worry. There was just this calm, like I just tapped in straight away to, okay, what's going on here? And at the time, I was doing, I had been training in past life aggression. So that's a slower version of what I do now. But, you know, 7 years of that process of training. And so as I was, you know, tapping in, I'm like, okay, how did I create this? And what are the steps I need to do to move this through in the most aligned way with the universe? So just energetically, I connected in to my higher self, wisdom and intuition, without even really realizing I was doing it. I think it was just a matter of listening, right? I just listened. So when in that listening, I just started cleaning up my diet. You know, I just made sure that everything I was eating was quite clean. I intuitively ate fresh food, you know, like I think I wasn't eating meat. I went vegetarian. I just cleaned up my diet and I just really tapped in. I went to a naturopath, all the things. I sort of started doing some, you know, herbal stuff, all of that sort of stuff. I lost the baby halfway through the pregnancy, which was another story and quite intense. But as soon as she came out, her name was Sarah, and as soon as she came out, like as she was birthed, the very first thing that my spirit said was, "This is all meant to be." It just
absolutely,
yeah, it was just this peace straight away. But then I had this fibroid I still had to work with, and they were all saying, you know, at your age, the size of it, we're just going to have to take your uterus out. And so personally, I went, no one's touching me with the knife, right? I was adamant that I wasn't going to have anyone touch me. Now, this is when I went into my limitation, because I resisted the process And I resisted the process for like 2 weeks. I was at home for 2 weeks in pain every single day. And I didn't tell anyone because it was mainly of a nighttime. So I didn't tell my partner because I knew that they was, you know, the consequences of what was going to go on. So 2 weeks I was in this resistance. Now looking back, you know, I was resisting the process and in pain and just really doing the best I could to manage that pain myself. Every single day that was. And then one moment in that, at the end of that 2 weeks, I had a really strong realization, and I had this moment where my higher self really connected with me, and I thought, oh my gosh, what if I'm supposed to have my uterus taken out and this is part of my journey? And as soon as that came in, I'm like, ah, okay, well, here I am, you know, holding on to a physical thing that I, you know, it's just part of my experience. Okay, let's get it out. I'm okay to lose my uterus if that's my journey. And so I had a moment and tuned into my uterus and had a bit of a cry of letting go of it and all the things that it had given me. And, you know, I had two children prior to this, so I've got two physical kids. So, you know, had some gratitude and, you know, had a moment of grieving and letting go and saying goodbye to it. Just that experience, the next 3 days, no pain. So just letting go and surrendering, I had no pain. And so then the pain started again, and I you know, went into hospital, into the emergency. They gave me some morphine, came back out. They did it again. I ended up at an emergency gynae clinic, and that's when they finally did some sort of, you know, internal examination. And I'd walked past. Now, this is where spirit connects in, right? Because I was seeing a male gynae. I walked past the corridor. He was taking me in to do an examination, and I see that female gynecologist that I'd seen when I was pregnant. She recognized me, saw that I wasn't pregnant anymore, asked if she could come in. She decided to do a different test. And I, because I started having pain for the first time during the day, so I was having pain while I was there. And all I remember is them saying, oh my God, we've got to get you in now. And I woke up the next morning and they said, you know, she came in, she said, I'm so glad you're here. I sort of laughed at her and she said, no, I don't think you realize. She said, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning thinking that you were going to go. You were so close. So if I hadn't have had that moment with spirit, I could have gone at home just from the resistance.
Right. So when you look back at that moment, because what my question is for you now with your level of awareness, right? When you look back on that, like for instance, that moment of surrender, what was the alchemical process that was happening there? Again, so that the listeners can kind of understand how this works with, you know, our beliefs and how that actually directly affects the physical.
The fact that I was open to listening to, you know, the volatile coming in, and that connection with me listening and recognizing that this was my higher wisdom. So that part that said, this is part of your journey, I connected with it and went, oh, I had that moment of realization that I was in resistance. Right. That I was becoming the identity and holding on to something physical rather than being in that space of just being in the now moment, listening to intuition, being guided. So if I hadn't have listened to that, it would have been a different story, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because I had an experience where I became very, very sick after my awakening. I didn't realize that that's what was happening. But I, you know, ended up you know, being diagnosed with chronic Lyme's, which had been in my body for quite some time. It just got kind of activated, and Hashimoto's, and I just had a plethora of symptoms and all. I went to specialist after specialist after specialist. And, you know, when I got diagnosed with chronic Lyme's, I looked it up and was reading on it. And you know, all of a sudden, like every full moon, my symptoms would start to exaggerate because I was reading about how the full moon, your symptoms, I forgot what they call it, the spiral keats activate in the full moon. And so every full moon I was feeling worse. And then higher self just came in and said, stop. You're identifying with this. And I was just like, oh. And it was like, start from this point forward, you're no longer sick. That's your story from this point forward. And that's what I did. And I cured myself of chronic Lyme's, which according to the doctors is not possible.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what happened with me, because the next morning when I woke up from this being in the hospital, I had this thing in between my legs, right? Like this,
right.
This, and they said, oh, no, that can't be the fibroid. It must be a polyp, because you can't get rid of you can't get rid of fibroids that way.
Hmm.
Well,
gosh, doctors just
times.
They have such limited, this can't happen. This
absolutely.
Is not, like, I mean, geez, they are boxed so
absolutely.
Hard.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so three times that happened. And the third time they finally went in and they said, well, we have no idea how you're doing this, but you're releasing it. Well, I had every single specialist coming in because, you know, like I was completely, my uterus was infected, so they weren't doing anything yet until my infection, you know, cleared up. So I was just in hospital. I had antibiotics to clear up the infection, but I was releasing this fibroid. And so all of the young specialists, like the students, everyone was coming
right,
in. And
right.
They're like, we have no idea how you're doing this. But
So
by the time I came out, there was still a little bit left, and I just, you know, imagined myself dissolving that. So went about a month later to a GP, and he did another ultrasound, and he said, it's gone, you know, like, mm-hmm. So, and that's when I cried. That's when I went, oh my gosh, it's happened. I've mm-hmm. done it, you know.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And so my curiosity is, did you ever receive any information, not that we have to have this information, just again, curiosity, about what those fibroids were representing in your physical body?
Yeah. So I did, I was doing past life regression at the time, and I went in and it was all about the pain of creation, that there was a part of me that believed, just like, you know, you have to have pain to labor a birth,
mm-hmm.
That it was an identity, that there is some sort of pain that you've got to suffer to create.
Mm.
Yeah, so interesting. Similar to what you experienced, right? Like, it's the full moon, and, you know, like, that's a world belief that it makes a difference. So to get that information from higher self, like, you're identifying with this, like, you from now on, you're just not sick, right? It's okay. Like, just that shift in reality when you step into your pure spirit instead of the identity of the individual.
Yeah, it's just incredibly powerful. I had an experience where I was working in my cervix, because that's where my higher self was taking me. And this was over a period of about 2 weeks. I was, you know, all day long, kind of, you know, not in meditation all day long, but all day with my awareness there, working on this really intense energy in my cervix. And it was taking me into parallel reality where my mother and I were not, she wasn't my mother in that life. We were just two women. We were in a harem by this royalty. We were sex slaves. And there was so much energy there around, you know, having to give sex for my livelihood to survive. And there was a lot. There's so many layers there. So I was in there working on my cervix for this period of time, releasing these energies. And I get this phone call from my father, and he goes, I have something to tell you. And at the time, I keep in contact with my parents, but like every 6 months, I don't talk to them regularly. And he goes, your mom's been diagnosed with cervical cancer. like as I'm working in my cervix. And, you know, I didn't even know she was sick because it's a really hot, like very advanced cancer. And I was like, oh, yeah, honestly, I'm like literally not surprised. And I told them and I told her, like, this is what I'm seeing and this is what I'm doing. And then I went to visit her and, you know, we're working on those energies together. You know, now she's in remission. But it's just awesome. Powerful to see how this can also just not just affect us, because absolutely. there was a quantum entanglement there between the two of us in this parallel life that particular life has had a massive influence on me in this life. And yeah, just the ways that all of this magic unfolds is so incredible.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because when we're as the individual, we're just so caught up in this life, right? But there's so many particles, like you were saying, like so much entanglement because we're multidimensional, right? We're in this field and there's life upon life. I mean, how many lives do you reckon has been ever on this planet? Like trillions and trillions, right?
Yeah.
So how much our DNA is from the origin of that? So there's so many layers. And with the new level of consciousness coming through, as with alchemy, we can shift it straight away, you know, mm-hmm. is just that thought. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So now let's take the listeners into something that's a little bit more obtuse, right? So that's like physical. So give us an example, perhaps from yourself or from a client, where there's been more of just a belief structure, maybe something a little bit less tangible of how they alchemized, or something that they alchemized, not how they did it, but what they alchemized and how that showed up, how that transformed their life.
So... clients. So from a client point of view, you know, that's the sort of work that I do. So I do a process called recoding, which is part of the Ascendance Code. And basically what we do is we neutralize the thoughts from that are holding us back in the unconscious, but we work in the field from where they originated from. So, you know, I call it the superconscious. So you've got the conscious, unconscious, and superconscious. And the superconscious has got all the codes. So we can neutralize those codes and become more connected to our pure spirit, you know, really quick, permanent, all of the things. And so I've had clients meet the love of their life. I've had clients become six-figure business owners after, you know, being stuck in five figures for years and years. I've had clients move house and, you know, get to their dream location. Like, there's so many different things that become tangible because you can shift the beliefs. But to give you one that might seem a little bit out there is a story from myself. When I first started doing all this, I didn't actually believe in it because I personally am very scientific in my head, grounded. I'm not that woo-woo, you know, considering I do all this sort of stuff. But when I first started doing the past life regression, I had an experience where I'd helped a kid that was on the other side of the suburb. We were living in a beach suburb, and I'd gone and worked on him, and I was just starting out, so it was a little bit, you know, it was still a bit new to me. And I'd done everything I was supposed to, but there was this moment where he brought in an energy that shouldn't have been there. And so when we come out, he had this entity that was actually part of his past life. And so, you know, I go home looking after my kids, got them in the bath, making dinner, all the things. And his mum rings up and says, could we have stuffed up? That's not my kid. He's not looking at me. His voice is different, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I don't know what you're going to do because he won't let you go near him now because he thinks you're a witch. So I'm like, I don't know what to do either. So hang up, put, you know, make sure the kids are not drowning, turn off the food. Go into my room, connected. Oh my God, what do I do? Got the instructions of what to do, went in my light body, took the entity out, blah, 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 fixed it all up, and rang her back about an hour later. And she told me exactly when I did that process. And it freaked me out. I put the phone down and went, oh my gosh, I am a witch. That freaked me out.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, the next day I went up to, I was living up in far north Queensland, which is in the rainforest. And I was going camping with some friends, and I went to the rainforest, and I called out to spirit, like, what is this? What's going on? I need a sign, because I don't want to go any further. Am I working for the right side, or, you know, which side am I working on? And I got three shooting stars. So right in that moment when I asked for a sign. And so those sort of things really make a difference, you know, like when that's not normal, right?
Yeah,
like when you
absolutely.
Have those moments. Yeah.
Yeah. I love how you say you didn't necessarily believe it. I had the same thing when I was first learning energy work. I was working on horses. I used to do body work on horses, and I'd work on them. And then angels started showing up and teaching me. And I was kind of like, I don't know about all this. I don't know if this is real. Even though, I mean, I'm super open-minded, but still, it's just sometimes hard to believe. And there was a point where, the angels don't come necessarily in physical form. They represent themselves. But Archangel Raphael, the horse was just in trance, like practically head on the floor, drooling, just totally relaxed. And Archangel Raphael represented himself in a form and came to the front of the horse, I guess, facing its head, and brought, and I wasn't touching the horse. I'd stepped completely away. And he brought his wings, and as soon as his wings touched the horse's withers, the horse shot up with his eyes really wide, and then, like, licked and chewed, which is their way of relaxing, and then just, like, sighed. And I was like, okay, I believe it.
Yep, yep. They're beautiful moments, aren't they? You know, like, when you've got that spiritual experience and that validation, it's magical, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so what would you say to somebody who really want to kind of bring this down into people's lives? Let's start with this. What would you say to somebody that's going, okay, this alchemy thing, like we can shift energy, right? We can shift things. How exactly can they apply that? You've kind of alluded to it, or you kind of mentioned it a lot, but let's make it really clear. How can they apply alchemy to their life?
The easiest and simplest way for someone that just wants to right now make a difference is start choosing their life, choosing what they want to create, making, our unconscious doesn't know the difference between a visual and a reality vision. So when you can wake up in the morning and first thing that you do is start choosing the way you want your life to be, so that day, but also connecting in with your future and the woman or the person that you're becoming, really be intentional with what it is you're choosing your life to be. And a really beautiful tool that can help you with that is scripting. So waking up in the morning, a lot of people just journal, right? They write their day and they talk about the reality of what happened and the emotions that they had and all of those things. But if you can flip that switch and go into imagining and writing as if a day in the future has already happened and the way you wanted it to happen and the emotions you felt and as much detail as possible, that very act of writing, so not typing, but using your hand because we use more muscles, then that is rewiring your neural pathways. It's creating a visionary experience for your unconscious. So the unconscious is now seeing it as a known thing instead of unknown, and the unconscious doesn't like the unknown. So it creates a bit of safety in the body, And that energy then really starts becoming your reality, and it's raising your vibration, and all the particles of the universe sort of start implementing and orchestrating for that to come become your reality. So that's a simple now instant, you can do that at home.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you differentiated there between just journaling and, you know, writing script, writing future self. Sometimes I think, you know, it can be really beneficial for people to journal what happened in the way of like processing emotion. But that can also kind of be similar to like talk therapy, where you're just talking it and you're just kind of like sitting in the vibration. Like, you're not shifting it. You're not changing it. It depends on the person and how self-aware they are. But this kind of work is so powerful because it really starts to shift you. I mean, like, you're already shifting, right? You're already shifting from where you are to that next level or next version of yourself. So I really like that differentiation because it's really beautiful. Like, yes, if you need to process your emotions that way, like, by all means, if that works for you. And also be aware if you just tend to journal and kind of like sit in the same frequency, right? Because all of us, I would say, you know, the vast majority of people are trying to create something different for themselves. At least everybody in my life. I'm sure there's people out there just like happy with the mundane. But yes, so that's a true. Really beautiful, beautiful process for people to practice. And there's something so powerful about handwriting it. I always find now my hand gets quite sore because I don't write that much anymore. It's just so funny because when we were kids, you know, we were writing all the time, and now I'm used to typing. But it's a different experience when we write than when we type.
Absolutely. We're not using as many muscles when we're typing. So when we're writing, we're connecting different neural pathways within our body. And so that creates a different electrical current in our physical system, which raises our vibration. So, yeah, it's all part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, it's beautiful because when you start to do that, everything that isn't that version of you starts to wonderfully come to the surface, so you can see it and choose to believe it or not. And also, I personally find action to be very alchemical in its process when we're taking action as that version of us, right? Taking action towards that version of us. We're literally actualizing that vibration into our physical reality. Is that your experience as well?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when you think about the different, you know, there's steps to alchemy, and the fifth step is being in aligned action, right? You need to physically, like, we are physical beings, so we need to look into that space and recognize ourselves as physical and take that action, you know?
Yeah. So what are the steps? Name off the steps for the audience.
So there's five steps. There's desired end result, being it now. So what is it you want to create? Being it now, becoming the person, looking at what's your current reality and getting the resistance out of the way, moving that resistance, and then taking action.
Beautiful. Yes. Yes. And the desire aspect is really important.
Absolutely.
If we, you know, if you think about, again, the alchemical process of turning other metals and things into gold, right? If you don't have that awareness that you want to turn it into gold and have that specificity, you know, you can, it kind of reminds me of like some of the cartoons where there's like magicians, right? And they're like, okay, you know, they're like practicing their magic. They're like, abracadabra. And then it changes into like, they're trying to change it into a cat, and instead it changes into a flower or a frog, right? Because they haven't gotten that clarity and that conviction of like, I'm changing this exactly into this, right? And that really goes for our human reality as well, is that precision and that clarity. Otherwise, you might change it into a frog when you really mean a cat.
It's absolutely true. If we have not identify what it is that we want to create in our reality, then our unconscious is actually creating for us instead. So instead of, you know, the beautiful bunch of roses, you know, like that you see in, you know, the cartoon characters, they end up with, you know, a pig or something like that. And it's true, right? Because if our unconscious is creating, which it is, we're 95, 96, you know, there's a huge percentage of the unconscious that is always present. And so through that process, like, we are creating, whether we're conscious of it or not. And so through the process of creating, we want to be creating from a conscious level, not from an unconscious level. So holding on to that image of what we want to create instead of, you know, creating a reality where we're all getting stuck in this low vibration, you know, we're getting stuck in the reality that, you know, there's wars and there's famines and all of these things that everyone keeps getting stuck in. And just like you're writing in the journal, this is what my day was, we're rewiring that into our reality all the time. And so one of the things you know, that I often hear is, how could, you know, because I don't want to focus on what's going on in the world. I want to focus on a world that I want to create. So you often hear people say, oh, that's, you know, burying your head in the sand. You get all of these world beliefs that, you know, that you're not being an active member in society if you're not also looking at the politics and all the things. Well, actually, I'm being the most proactive because I'm creating a different world. And so by not taking any notice of the unconscious from a collective, that's, you know, you look at the world right now and it's a collective experience from a higher perspective where we're all creating this reality, letting go and just not giving that any energy and creating a beautiful world, then you start creating, because, you know, my world's great.
Mm-hmm.
My, you know, like, I'm sure yours is too, Alana, right? There's this, you create your reality. So the more you script, the more you choose what you want to create, then all of us doing that. I don't know if you've ever heard of David Hawkins and mm-hmm. Power versus Force.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as one person elevates into the energy of enlightenment, I can't remember the actual accurate numbers, but it's thousands of people mm-hmm. that you're influencing
yeah.
by your vibration. Yeah. So the more people that starts creating the reality of what they do choose to create, this peace, love, connection, all the things that we, you know, truly want in our heart, then that's going to spread and create ripples in the world, right? And we'll yes. have more roses than the pigs.
Yes. Yes, that's why it's so important to have goals and desires, you know, because some people say, well, I'm just getting by. I don't have time for that. Well, it's like, yeah, but that's, you're just perpetuating, right? Like, you've got to have these goals. You got to really connect to those desires. We've been taught that we're not allowed desires, you know, but that's such an important breadcrumb trail to our divinity, to our most ecstatic self. And just as you said, as we claim that, we own that, it's so powerful, the ripple effect. And yeah, it's quite interesting because I was just feeling into which one, like two different stories came through. I wanted to share one of them. Something I saw the other day when I was working with a client, she went in back into the lives of, you know, the witch energy, witch trials. And as we were working her through this, we were also seeing the, you know, Jesus era and Jesus as he was crucified. And the what higher self was saying is the most powerful thing we can do. I mean, this, I mean, like, I got a download during the session and an activation by seeing this, because it was the most powerful thing we can do is stand in that truth. This is who I am. Specifically when the rest of the world is saying, you're not allowed to be that. That's not okay. That's blasphemy. All of these things. Now we're going to crucify you. And you do not waver. Like, Jesus didn't waver. You know, he didn't say, oh, let me try to fit into your mold. It was like, no, I'm going to stand in my truth. That is so powerful to how it ripples out to humanity, but also ascends your soul. It actually, like, radically ascends your soul because of that absolute clarity and conviction of divinity of self. And I mean, it was such a beautiful imagery and everything that came with it. And, you know, this is the work that you're teaching people. This is the work that your clients are doing, right? As they are saying, this is what I want to create, and I'm going to do the 5 steps to make it happen. They're doing that process over, and every time we say, this is what I want to create, and we go through that process, we're saying that this is my divinity, this is my truth, and I'm going to own it and claim it and create it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd love to just put one more piece into that thing about Jesus, because I actually read the Bible twice from cover to cover, just because I realized that I was making a judgment of the book, right? And so it's a really interesting to come from and not like just an observation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I, you know, I've got a really strong connection to Jesus, and, you know, there's when he was on the cross, there was this one tiny moment, because he said, you know, why have you forsaken me, Father? Right. And there was just this one moment. He didn't go to them that was doing it. He went to his source.
Right.
Yes. But it was like this instant. And then he realized who he was, like the connection, the whole thing. And within a moment, he shifted that and he went, Lord, forsake them because they know not what they do. Right. So he went back into his divinity and he went, you know, into his language for source energy. And, you know, I'm getting chills, right?
Me too. Yes.
Because we're all human.
Yes.
We all have that identity, you know, like it's being aware, bringing awareness. And as you said, making the choice each time.
Yes. And we all often hit that moment right before we're really transforming, especially those really core belief structures. We hit that moment of self-doubt, right? And it's right as it's like you're pressing against it, and it's just about, you know, ready to pop. That's just a symbolic representation. So I really love that you brought that in. I really felt that. I'm grateful you said that. Thank you for sharing that. So, my love, how can people find you and connect to you?
So on social media, I'm Elizabeth Eleanor. So Eleanor is spelled a little bit differently. It's Elenor. That's my website as well. So elizabetheleanor.com.au or .com, either one. But yeah, Facebook is where I sort of live most of the time. You know, I do Instagram and those things. My business page on Facebook is Peacemaker Ascension Portal. So all of the socials and my website, you can get in contact with me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, my love, for being on here and bringing your genius here today for us.
Thank you, Alana. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I love the synergy and the connection and just flowing with conversation. It's been beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, so wonderful. And to the speakers, to the listeners, you know, always remember to share this episode and also try what Elizabeth recommended as far as the writing. Think of what you're desiring. Write that down. Practice this tool for yourself. and see what happens, you know, see what transpires. Share this episode. As always, I am so deeply, deeply, deeply grateful for all of you. And until next time, I love you so much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.